It's lockdown. It's pod down. It's rub down after a strenuous day of doing nothing. It's Pranks and Firth. I'm Ash Frith. There speaking to me is Justin Panks. Justin, come in.
Actually, I'm not speaking to you, Ash.
You're not talking to me.
That's a
anymore.
Weird thing, isn't it? I'm not speaking to him at the moment. I'm not speaking to her. I'm not speaking to them.
I basically get, if ever I have an argument with anyone now, in my mind, as soon as the argument's happened, I think, well, I'll never speak to him again.
I was just about to say that. Okay, because I think we're very much birds of the same feather when it regards to this. How many kind of quite minor arguments have you just backed down from and not had because you know in your head you will escalate to never speaking to someone again because they've nicked your parking space where you live or something?
Yeah, well, there's that. There's my mind running away with itself that I somehow, like, the worst things happen. Do you do that?
Catastrophe. Oh, yeah. I had to cancel a gig I've booked someone for or something. And I've put off calling them for a week.
Yeah, and then make it happen. You make it
worse.
Yeah,
but it does make it worse.
Tonight's gig is off.
But even that is nowhere near as bad as in my fantasy where they stab me. Yeah, where they just go, and you just think every. But yeah, I've had like things. I've always said this. If you're a bit of a psycho, and I think I might be, you actually end up going through life being more agreeable and a doormat than a normal person because I can't.
And then you snap every now.
Yeah,
and again.
I can't have a 5 out of 5 altercation with someone. I couldn't go to someone.
My blood.
I could
boil.
Yeah, exactly. And I just go like someone will sort of push in front of me at the supermarket, and you think a psycho go, oi. You pushed in, mate. Get out of the way. But you don't. I don't say anything. Because if I say, hey, excuse me, there's a queue here, and they go, yeah, so what? I'm going. That's it. Go time.
Stabbing them to death. I'm doing in Fight Club. You remember where he beats that guy up and he doesn't stop and he just pummels his face into a blue.
Yeah.
That goes through my mind.
But this is the thing. But
it's not healthy.
I've got.
I'm not well.
But also, it's again, makes it this self-fulfilling prophecy in a way, because all of those 5 out of 10 altercations you avoid, when you do have one, they all come back, and some poor sap that accidentally trod on your foot at the bus stop now gets murdered because
I'm thinking to a specific time in McDonald's where I had gone to McDonald's with my son and my mate, and there were no people working. I thought, like, it was all just the machines, you know.
Yeah.
Order
I hate
machines.
Those.
And I couldn't get it to work. I just, like an old person, couldn't get it to work. And something just went. And I went, why aren't there just some fucking staff to serve you?
And in
my son and my mate were mortified.
Yeah, well, in therapy.
Especially when we were then very aware that there were some people working in a different
section. And then, you've got to sheepishly go over and go, I'm going to have a Happy Meal, please, with Apple.
Oh,
but in therapy, there's a classic hacky, tropey quote. There's a few stock lines from therapy that I've never been, but I'd imagine. And they would be, tell me about your mother. And the other one is, what are you really angry about, Ash?
Yeah, well, that
is it, though, isn't it?
Nothing.
You wasn't angry about the McDonald's.
Yeah,
you wasn't angry about the McDonald's machine. It was a lifetime of little things that have gone wrong, and you've just took it on the chin, and then it all came out.
Yeah, but I've got no right whatsoever. I've had the perfect upbringing with parents who didn't do anything bad, and I've got nothing to be angry about because everything I've ever wanted, I've got. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I sort of know what you mean, but fuck you.
I stabbed my brother in the leg with a pen once.
Yeah, but that's not him stabbing you, is it? That's different.
No, but I can feel the boiling blood that he pushed me to.
Yeah.
And
it's so strange. There's another cliche. This is the cliche episode, is we hurt the ones we love, is because you feel comfortable enough to stab him with a pen. So the people that are closest to you, your blood, you end up stabbing them, but the strange that deserves it, you just look at the floor and walk away.
Yeah, it's strange. As strange as well, like, morally, inside me, I've got these parameters of what I will and won't take.
But when you're confronted with it, have you ever been really disappointed in yourself for not saying something?
Yeah, carry on doing stuff, you know, working for people that you don't agree with, living with people you don't agree with, just remaining in contact with people. You know, there are people that I communicate with that I think they're a twat. Why am I bothering?
Well, because it's a podcast. Sort of like something we do, isn't it?
But that's true. It is true that instead of just... Imagine if we were just honest. Like my... Cy Barlow, who runs Barlow and Fields.
Fantastic coffee.
He suffers from an illness which is known as complete honesty.
Yeah, couldn't give a shit. Couldn't give a shit-itis.
At all times. I love it. But it cripples me down to the point where it actually hurts you sometimes because you say, look, don't say anything to John, but I'm a bit pissed off with him because of XYZ. Yeah, and when John turns up, Cy would go, why have you been a prick about XYZ?
When you're around...
I was like, oh, don't say
But when you're around...
But it's always for the best.
Oh, yeah, and there's an admiration but a fear there. I say it's like being around someone who's that brutally honest. And don't be brutal like it's always like as if it's always harsh, but just that kind of total raw honesty is like when you watch videos of like them Russian guys what climb up a massive chimney and then ride around the rim of on a unicycle with a GoPro on their head.
Yeah,
admire it, and you sort of wish they were that brave. But fuck, I'm so squeamish, I can't even watch it. My palms are sweating.
It's so stupid. But he does it. He's always done it.
That's good though.
And oh, it is good.
But I think that's a healthier. I think that's healthier than. I think it's healthier to let out your frustrations or little irks incrementally rather than let them build up.
He's done it.
I mean, falling down. The film Falling Down is about this very thing, isn't it?
Imagine just relieving that tension at all times, though. By like he at his wedding, like the first time he stayed around his girlfriend's house, they were drunk. When she lived, like they've been together since they were like 16, 17, 18, whatever. And they were drunk. They went back to hers. He had terrible, terrible shit, which blocked the toilet. He then went to bed. Her dad woke her up at like 7 the next morning saying, you need to sort this mess out. Like, it's been you or him. He'd never met his dad before. And then so his girlfriend had to go out there with a rubber glove on and like break up the turd so it would flush away. And I'd never see that person again. You know, I'd have broken up with a girl.
I'd have flushed it twice, looked around, there's no brush, realised the mess up, and I just jumped out the window. Yeah. Like there and
yes,
then.
Yes, whether it's to my own death
I'm saying, if it was the first floor, if it was the ground floor, I'd have just left. But if it was like a fourth floor, I'd have definitely jumped out the window. I'd just end this now.
Yeah. But... He didn't, and he mentioned it at his wedding.
See, this is the thing they think this says a lot about someone that is comfortable with themselves and accept themselves. I certainly don't. I mean, I don't accept my good qualities, never mind my warts and all. I mean, warts, I cannot accept. I'm saying it's so difficult to acknowledge even the most minor flaw in my character, of which there are plenty.
But he wouldn't suffer fools.
Yeah, because he's comfortable. See, I'm worried about what someone thinks about me because of what I think about myself. But if you actually think, yeah, well, I'm just, fuck it, I just do it. Now and then I do big shits on the toilet, so fucking what? But I'm mortified because I'm all I do is focus on my imperfections. So something like that, it compounds it and it makes me feel worse. So I've got to be...
What about, I went on a date once.
All right,
and
get you.
Let's call it a date.
Showing off.
And the girl that we went on a date with, like, we went out for some food. I think we were going for a drink, but then whatever happened, we ended up, there was a bar, there was a restaurant. We went for a meal, which isn't an ideal first date, really.
What, going for a drink and a meal isn't? Out of the norm, isn't it?
I don't think I do my best ashing at
dinner. No, because they brought over the yogurt and you had to pick all the bits of apricot out. Like a toddler.
Well, that would certainly be one thing. Yeah.
You see it in there. She's like, oh, Ash, how's yours? Mine's delicious. She's like, oh, they like it. It's got bits in it. It's got green in it. What's that? That's broccoli, Ash. Oh, they like it. Put your hands
it's
over
funny
your ears.
You mean to me, isn't it?
I want some pompers. I want some pompers. Turn the table over. Walk out. Go on, and play with your Lego.
Oh, well, I could do the colouring on the menu.
Yeah, would you like anything before? Can I get you, sit down, I'll get you the menu. Can I get you anything to begin with? Like, yeah, can I have
Ice
the colouring pad and the crayons?
Ice cream factory. Oh, what about the quirky people that do ask for those when they're adults? Christ. But yeah, so I went on a date with this girl and she ordered tuna. And I knew at that date that we would never go beyond that date. The bravery to go for the worst thing on a menu on a first date. I was like, this is pointless.
What did you have?
I don't know. Something bland.
Billy Bear and smiley like faces. Spaghetti hoops.
Do you do? But do you have Bernard Matthews turkey Twizzlers? Yeah, but I just think I looked at her and was like, well, if you're doing that, you don't give a shit about anything.
Maybe she just likes tune. Maybe she was trying to be. This is the thing. This is what you don't know. She could have been second guessing and thinking, I'm going to order something a bit sophisticated, like tuna.
But even this, listen to this. Back to Cy Barlow about he's not giving a shit. We used to go. He used to work in a bar, right? That we used to go to, an indie bar that we all used to go to. And there was one member of our group that he didn't even not really get on with. He didn't really like him, but they just never fell out or anything.
They just weren't the same tribe.
Level of friends. And we'd go up and we'd order these. Do you remember in indie bars, it'd be like this weird concoction of drinks.
Yep.
It'd be like, you know, shot of this, shot of that, and it'd be called a diesel.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So we'd all order those, and they were about 12 quid a pint. And it'd go, that's £4.80, please, and you'd ordered eight. You know what I mean? Because he worked behind the bar, he'd scan it as like lemonade. And then when this one guy from the same group of friends would go and order them, he'd go, 38 quid, please. And he'd just charge him full price. Can you imagine that?
I thought the coffee was pricey in there. £38 for an espresso.
Wow.
He actually offered it to me for free, but I'm so stunted. Can I pay, please? And I paid for it.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish I was a bit more like that. But I can't be.
Oh, you've gone. I lost you for a second.
No, I'm always here.
Always here. Yeah, so how's lockdown, mate? Should we talk about that? What's going on?
I think
more people are coming around to my way of thinking now, aren't they?
I don't know, really. I don't know anything. I've stopped looking at the news.
I'm still expecting to see some evidence of a pandemic, and I just feel like there is none.
Well, there are death statistics, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen the numbers on the telly, but I still don't know anyone.
Shall I tell you about my lockdown? Shall I sum up my lockdown in one thing? So,
wanking.
A little patch of the garden needed re-turfing. We've covered this before. Little patch of the garden needed re-turfing, didn't it? Just up the side of the shed. So we took down a couple of trees that were up there. And I cleared it all. And I measured the little patch of land that needed to be re-turfed. And I walked in the house. And I now know the conversation went like this. We need 35 metres. Okay, so shall I order 35 metres of turf? No, 50 metres, I said. Did you? Yeah, 50 metres. She ordered 50 metres of turf. We did not need 50 metres of turf.
That's a lot of turf. Thanks.
Yeah, it's an entire garden's worth, it turns
Where
out.
Where is it?
It's all over the garden now. I ended up re-turfing the entire garden.
But you dug the old turf up, didn't you? You haven't put it on top of the other grass,
have
you? I had
to take up the old...
Ash? Ashley?
All up by hand.
Ashley? Yep. Yeah, you haven't, have you? Ash, did you at least cut it as short as you could? Yeah. And then you cut it right short so it's almost bald, and then you scarified and aerated.
Yes, I did that, yes.
Then you watered it so it's super wet and then laid the turf on top, didn't you?
That is correct. I did do that. Yeah, I did do that.
Okay, I predict in seven episodes' time, you're going to be recounting the story of having to roll up and dispose of 50 metres of dead turf. You fucking idiot.
It's really good. I've been playing football on it. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's really good at the moment. You know, you could go and lay that on the pavement outside and it would be all right for a week. And then the problems start.
I wish you hadn't said that.
What?
I wish you hadn't said that bit about it being all right if you just laid it on the pavement for a week.
That's the truth. I am from East Anglia, mate. I know soil.
You see, I know you do. I was every time I was looking at it, I was thinking of your old lawnography thing that you used to do.
My lawn. That was a great blog. But
you could do that again with mine. If I send you a picture every other day,
could do lawnography. If it wasn't lockdown, I would volunteer. I would come and I would get. You would have the best lawn in your street. Because I know how to do a lawn, mate. Not many things I know really know inside out. That's lawn care.
Why is this not going to live?
Because the roots will find it too difficult to get in through. There's already roots on roots, and it'll become just entangled. And it's too compacted because you didn't break it all up with a fork. And you needed to put loads and loads and loads and loads, like you soaked it underneath like a swimming pool, so the roots would then travel south. They're not going to find any moisture and go down.
Oh, I'm watering every day. Does that count?
It's not going to work. There's a reason that people digging up an old lawn is the worst job in the world, and no one would do it if you didn't have to do it. It wouldn't be a thing, would it?
No.
So the fact that people do this...
When will I know that it's all died? When will I know that I've wasted 150 quid?
When it goes yellow and you have to roll it all up and get rid of it.
How long is that?
It depends. If you keep watering it, it could be a year if you keep watering it, but there'd be a point where you have to stop watering it. You could, like I said, you could put a bit of turf on a piece of pavement and water it every day and it would sort of live, but it won't take. And then, like, your son will go out there and play football and it'll just start scuffing up like it's loose.
I'd love it if he went out there.
You know, or you might go out there and try and do some keepy-ups and then you'll come and it'll just all churn up. You've basically... That's so much turf.
I know, it's far too much.
They come in like a foot wide, metre long strips, don't they, roughly?
Well, this was probably 2 foot wide.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Did you stagger it like bricks?
Quite big. Yes, I did that, at least.
Yeah, well, this is...
So that should all take then, yeah?
Nah, there is actually some pellets you can put down, but it's not going to go for... It's not going to take properly, no, and it'll be very patchy. Some might, but it won't all take... You won't get a uniform takeage. There you go. Yeah. So I went back and did some lawn care at my old manor, and this is just what I did. But this is my spring routine. So 10 days ago, I cut it short, and I put feed, weed, and moss killer down, and then I watered that in. Then 10 days later, I went and I cut it short again. Then I raked it and raked it and raked it and raked it with a lawn rake and got like half a wheelie bin of like dead thatch, moss, and weeds out of it.
Lovely.
Then I went round with a garden fork, and every 3 inches, I pushed the garden fork right in about 6 inches and then wiggled it backwards and forwards to loosen it all up, get oxygen down to the root level and make sure the soil is soft and not too compacted. Then I overseeded it with loads of fast-acting lawn seed. Then I got the lawn rake and lightly raked it, so it sort of like grooved it in, just sort of like lightly got it acquainted with the surface of the lawn. Then I watered that, and I do that every spring.
You've got a lovely lawn.
Oh, I haven't now. This is the break and eggs phase of making an omelette. It looks worse now because it's patchy and there's soily parts where there's no moss anymore. But...
Why had you not been moss treating before?
No, I only did it in the spring. I did it once. You can overdo it. And I've got that lawn is in a Victorian terrace, one of those long, thin gardens. So there's quite a lot of shadow down one side from the fence. So you're always going to have moss in there, but it's just an ongoing thing. The beauty of gardening, Ash, it's not like building where you tile a bathroom and it's done. It's living, ever changing. That's what I like about it. That's why a nice manicured lawn is so satisfying, because you're mastering the elements. It's like...
Well, I'd prefer it if it did take, if that's all right. If I did it and it's all going to be all right.
When lockdown's over, I'll come and sort your lawn out for you because you fucked it up, and we'll do it properly. And you don't need to turf it. You could seed it. The amount of... You don't go out there that often, do you? You could have seeded that for like a tenner, but it's a lot of work.
I mean, I took up all the old turf.
Oh, yeah, you took up all the old grass, didn't you? Yeah. But I was going to say, there are these kind of pellets you can put down, and I think they kind of retain moisture. So you put down these sort of like jelly sort of pellet things underneath the turf, and like when you water it, they stay wet. So you...
Like Orbeez.
Yeah, I tell you what, you cannot water grass enough. Like, you need to like get it so it's like a paddy field. Like you think, oh, that's too much. If you seed a lawn, you could just chuck a hose pipe down and just leave it running 24 hours. You can't water them enough. Are you on a water meter?
Same as for the turf?
You cannot water enough, mate. Are you on a water meter?
Oh, it doesn't matter, does it? What's the point?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I don't understand. This is one thing I don't. This is a conspiracy theory that I believe. Why is there an issue about wasting water?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because it must all go back into the water table, right?
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
You can't make
it's
water, can you? No, you can't make it. There's a finite amount of water in the universe.
It's not an element, is it? Water.
No, it's a mixture of elements, isn't it? It's H2O, hydrogen, so it's oxygen. One part hydrogen and two parts oxygen, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can make it.
Well, no, but you can't make elements, is my point. So you can't make...
No, but you could... No, but you can make water.
How?
By mixing hydrogen and oxygen, surely. You produce water.
Hang on a minute. Hang on, this is up there with the moon. Let's think about this. Oxygen's a fucking air. How can it be water?
Well, hydrogen and oxygen. Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom makes water, yeah?
If you say so.
Or is it two oxygen and one hydrogen?
It's squared, H2O. Isn't it? H2O. I don't know. I don't know how to make water.
I can't remember.
I feel
is
like
it H I've... with the two.
Well, hydrogen's one, right? So I know the atomic, the periodic table, atomic numbers is how many atoms and what are the invisible ones? Neutrons. So hydrogen has one.
Electrons.
No, hydrogen has one nucleus and one, fucking hell, the other one, the neutron. And oxygen has two, right? It's hydrogen's the most basic element of one proton, nucleus, one atom.
Okay.
Is it?
That's carbon, isn't it?
No, carbon's the most abundant element in the universe.
It's
the most stable. Carbon is the most stable, like the atomic number. It's in the middle, so it's not... Yeah, it's the most stable element. I know that. And it's the most abundant.
And this is lockdown science. They can clip that bit and play it to kids as one of their homeschooling lessons.
Yeah, they could. We could...
I do think that water is a...
You can't make it.
Like a waste product of some...
If you could make it, right, there would be a water factory in Africa and there would be no problems. Where's the water
maybe
factory?
Maybe it's just not cost effective.
No, you can't make water. There's only so much amount of it.
Okay, here's the thing, right? You know, if you have a freezer and you leave it open, ice forms on the wall of the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the moisture out of the air, right? Yeah. Why don't they have a great
freezer
metal wall in Africa, like the whole continent?
Why don't they just air condition it so it's not so hot?
But they could have that wall and freeze that piece of metal, which is solar powered, of course. It then forms ice on that panel. You then stop freezing it. The ice melts. You've collected all that water.
See, this is why I don't understand where people say that the ice caps melting is a bad thing, because there's a parts of the world in drought.
More water.
And we've got all this water in storage up there. What's it doing? That's not doing anything. So people could be having a bath in that and drinking it.
Why? Where's the water going that we're not allowed to waste it?
This is the point. I don't think you can make or destroy water. Even if you... Like, if you put, like, you can't, like, destroy it, can you? The only way you could
you could freeze it and then
there's the same amount of water. Yeah.
Shatter it to a million pieces.
Yeah, and then it melts and goes back into the water. But what I'm saying is, like, there's the same amount of water now as there was ever.
Yes.
But it moves around. Like, when we had the drought, like, Egypt, they reckon, we used to be really wet.
So is it that we're just too lazy to track after it?
Yeah. Like, I think people are like, oh, water shortage, drought, water, got to be a hose pipe ban. And then they're like, oh, no, ice caps are melting. It's like, yeah, that's fucking water. Would you need it or not? Come make your mind up. Is it a good thing or not?
If little Timmy has to walk 13 miles a day to the well to get fresh water, why is his settlement so far away from the well?
And why have someone called Tim moved to Africa?
Oh, he wasn't in Africa, this guy. He was in Durham.
Oh, yeah, Durham. Just walked to the Hovis advert. And go get water in a basket on the front of his bike.
I think there are people called Tim in Africa as well, I'd say.
Little Timmy. I think you bottled giving him an ethnic name there, I'm honest. I think...
Why do we just say Africa as well?
It's a very dry continent. I think the driest of all the continents, right? Yeah. It's not...
the driest consonant?
The driest... Why does continent sound so much like consonant and incompetent? They all sound too similar. English is a hard language.
What's the most incompetent continent? Australia, probably. You're right.
Yeah, Australia, that's fine. No, but I do think, I think Africa's got an abundance of natural resources, yet it's quite underdeveloped. So do you mean, is that what you mean by incompetent?
They're not using their best resources. What about when Saudi Arabia and that area discovered that they had oil and they were all going to be billionaires?
Yeah. Okay, so let's transpose water to oil. So let's say we need a lot of oil, right? Oil's at a premium. Water's more important to humans than oil.
I'd say so, yeah.
So if there was this gigantic oil field in the north and south of the planet, on the caps, right?
Which I think there might
Say there is. I'm saying, pretend ice is oil, if you know what I mean. If you could sell water, if you could sell barrels of water for the same price you could sell barrels of oil, there would be polar caps left. That's what I'm saying.
You can buy some of the cans and stuff of like cloud water. They're getting up there with the oil price.
Yeah, but you can choose not to, but you can't choose to not use oil if you're an industrial country. But my point is, if there was as much money in water as there is oil, there would be no... They would be like, how do we make the ice caps melt quicker? Let's get all that fucking water. Wouldn't they? Let's get it. There's loads of water up there. Let's get it. Fuck the polar bears.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so there's more to that. This is my conspiracy. There's more to that. This ice cap's melting can only be a good thing. It's freeing up the most vital resource to humankind. We've got too much of it. It's all frozen at the north and south, and they want to keep it there for some reason because they can sell us water. There you go. It's Evian. It's a conspiracy. And I'm drinking a Coke Zero.
Yeah, Evian backwards, naive, famously.
Evian. Yeah, it is as well. No, it's not. Is that like, is that to trick me? Like, I'm naive. Is that like when you say, did you know the Gallagher was not in the dictionary?
No, but well done. It wasn't one of those brain tweezers, though.
Brain tweezers? That's what you need to give you a brain fucking... Operate on your brain. Tweezers, because it's so bloody small. What? How can a head that big have such a small brain in it, Ash?
Brain. Don't mean it's any good.
No, I know. Yeah, lockdown, that's what we were talking about. So you've re-turfed your lawn and fucked that up.
Well, it hasn't fucked up yet. It looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it will do for a while. You know re-turfing over there, you know that's the equivalent of, mate. That is the horticultural equivalent of a comb-over. That's all you've done there.
You reckon that's what it's going to be?
That's all you've done there is you've covered up a problem and you think it looks all right until the wind blows and it opens up like a trapdoor, revealing your bald little head. Which I have had that happen. I have had that happen to me.
Your hair or the...
No, someone else's. And I swear to God, it was this guy that I quite liked him. I went on holiday to Greece in like 2003. And there was this...
What? Unbelievable. You went on holiday to Greece?
In 2003.
Yeah.
And it was hot. Like the hottest it's ever been in Europe. Like everyone was dying. It was like this big heat wave. But my then partner worked in a school and we had to go in the school holidays. And we went in August during the hottest heat wave in Europe for like 200 years. I don't know if you remember it. Loads of people died. More than this pandemic. More than this pandemic, I'll have you know. But they didn't force you to stay in then. Bloody Goethe. And I was speaking to this geezer and I quite liked him. And he was sort of like, we chatted a bit and that. And then on the last day, he was leaving and we had like a few days left, you know, but it was his time had come. And he came up...
You made a holiday friend. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but he was about 65 and I was about 28. Nothing wrong with that. So he goes, he came up to say goodbye and this gust of wind blew and I never knew because he used to swim, but he used to sort of do doggy paddle with his head out of the water and everything. And this entire raft of white, I mean, it's like hair sprayed. So it was literally like a trapdoor. It just flew straight up in the air. And he looked at me and he had this look on his face. And he was...
Did it open front to back or side to side?
It was like one of those camper vans where you sleep in the roof and you push... You know, you push them up with a concertina.
Yeah, that
happened. And I saw this bald bit of head... But because I wasn't supposed to see it, I was looking at his belly. It was like, if someone had snuck up behind him and pantsed him, and I'd seen it completely expose his cock and balls, it felt like that. I went, oh, like it really bothered me. It still now bothers me. It was so...
Do you think it bothers
oh
him.
Oh my God, he's looked panicked and he tried to turn his head so the wind would blow back. Like Russell Crowe in Master and Commander. He had to navigate his head so the wind would push the sail in the opposite direction. And it went and slapped down on his head again. And then he was talking to me with his like back to me again. Yeah, see you, Justin. It was nice to meet you. So the wind wouldn't blow it up again. But
oh, God. He thinks about that every day. Because otherwise, why has he got a comb over?
Oh, exactly. But I swear to God, there's something about when you're not supposed to see something, even if it's not intimate, it becomes it. Like, I remember once I was in Leicester doing a gig and I saw a Muslim lady drinking from a bottle of water and she lifted her face veil up and I saw her cheek and I went, oh! Like, I felt like I wasn't supposed to see it.
Like, so I'm so sorry, I just broke your parameters.
What's that?
No, that's what I meant. You
thinking, yeah, no,
you're, going,
like,
you're almost like, oh, I haven't done anything wrong.
No, it wasn't done it wrong, but I sort of thought, I felt intrusive, and I just looked round because she was drinking it and she was putting it in a bin. You know, when you sort of like go over to a bin, you take a swig or something. So yeah. I just sort of saw her mouth like drinking it, but I looked and I got a sort of feeling of, oh God, I shouldn't have seen that, but it was just someone's face. And the top of his head was the same thing because it was in some ways had been. I knew I wasn't supposed to see it. It felt so intrusive and vulgar. It was a really weird feeling.
He'd been hiding it like his belly.
Yeah, it felt like I just stared at the tip of his penis. Wow. Yeah, but that's basically what's going to happen with your lawn, mate. And then the old dead grass underneath. When you see that, when that makes a reappearance, you are gonna rue the day.
I feel like I'm looking at the lawns.
You were gonna rue the day you didn't consult your old friend about a bit of lawn care.
I should have done. I didn't even think, mate. I didn't even think. What a fool I've been.
Well, I'm now drinking Coke Zero. That's a development. I don't normally drink anything like that, but I've
sweetness in that, mate.
I know, but I've started drinking it because lockdown. Fuck it.
Fuck it, mate. We have got a prankspiracy coming from Callum Gould on Twitter, on Patreon.
Right.
I want to run it by you. I want to get your feelings on it. I think you might know a little bit about it. I prefer the ones that you don't know anything about.
Well, that's most things, to be fair, isn't it?
Callum has said, did Biggie really organise the shooting of Tupac?
I thought it was the other guy, Death Row Records guy. The bloke was just been arrested nicked for running that dude over. Suge Knight, wasn't it?
Because, well, from what I understand of the story, it was in the lobby of
Mike Tyson fight.
No, who was it? Was it the Tyson fight? Because someone Snoop Dogg was shot in the. Who was it that was shot in the? Was it Tupac that was shot in the lobby of?
Tupac's not dead. Tupac's alive and well, mate.
And then survived.
Did you ever see when they did that hologram of him? I thought Suge Knight, right, he went on stage to collect an award and he had a big red suit on, right? Which apparently is a no-no because you're pledging allegiance to the Bloods. Yeah. So hip-hop artists will always avoid wearing red or blue. Yeah. People from that world, because there's no point unless you're properly in the gang. But I think there was this controversy that Suge Knight wore this big red suit. And I think, was Tupac more of a Crips dude? What?
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, it's all quite childish, isn't it? Do you think it's a bit childish, all this? Like, what colour you wear? Like, yeah, shooting someone because they've got the wrong colour suit on.
Strange in a murderous gang to not be allowed to wear a blue hanky. Imagine if you just imagine being the softest person.
What about
in the world
blue really makes
blue
your eyes
hanky
pop?
And walking through LA.
Yeah, but then again, the concern there's a bit of that with politics, isn't it? Like I remember people going, "Oh look, Corbyn was wearing a blue tie." It's like, and I don't know a lot about hip hop. I'll be honest with you.
That's quite a macro.
The old hip hop. That's quite a macro one. I'll have to look. I'll tell you what. I'll look into it. And I'll get back to you.
I don't think you're allowed to, mate. I think that's part of the prankspiracy. I think, yes, I think he was. Because if I remember the story rightly, he survived a first attack where he was shot up a bit in the lobby, went in the lift, went up, and when he was seen by Big E and Puff Daddy, they were shocked to see him alive, he thought.
Okay, slight tangent, but it's about shootings in Las Vegas. What about the geezer that shot the country music festival?
Yeah.
They only found 100 shell casings in his room, but he fired like 10,000 rounds or something.
So what was going on?
Well, they ripped. Well, there's no footage of that. There's no footage in the lobby of him carrying all these weapons up there or anything. And there's cameras everywhere in Vegas. There's casinos and stuff, isn't it?
Of course.
Yeah. There's something going on. And have you... Oh, my God. I've watched the UFO stuff you told me about.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird to hear experienced naval jet fighters going, what the fuck is that? And it just starts rotating. One of them's like a little fast dot on the surface of the sea almost.
Do you see where he's trying to track it? I quite enjoyed that. And he misses it about four times.
Yeah, then you go, but Americans do, mate. Americans, if you listen, you do make me laugh. Potentially, this guy is witnessing an extraterrestrial life. And he's like, woohoo, yeehaw, got him! Like that, when he locked on it.
Yeah.
It was sort of like...
Yeah, that's his big takeaway from it, is that he managed to do his job.
It's just, yeah, but not just do his job, but it's like, he should have been going, oh my God, this is probably the biggest... It could be the... I mean, this is the weird thing. No one's talking about it. And this could be the biggest discovery of my lifetime.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing as like when... It's the whole ghost thing, isn't it? It's like, oh, here's footage of a ghost. No, it's not. It's a blur on a photo or a video. Like,
yes, 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 yes,
so
yes. Every footage...
This could be a swan landing on a lake.
Every footage... Every piece of grainy, pokey, hokey footage I've seen before, I would say that... I think one of these ones, the one with the ones going right to left, and he goes, oh my God, look how fast that thing's travelling into the winds, 140 knots into the wind. It's going into the wind. And it just starts sort of rotating like it's doing a roly-poly.
Yeah, and then goes, 90 degrees it rotates, doesn't it?
That is not like what you're... That is not that, ooh, could this be a ghost? I think that is pretty conclusive. Not pretty conclusive. I guess that's an oxymoron. I think it's... That's conclusive. That is definitely a UFO. I've just talked myself into it.
Because of the fact it's also not just some...
Hick that's been drinking moonshine.
No. It's actually a government-released thing. And they've actually gone, we don't know what it is, but it doesn't compromise anything. So there
Well, all they've said is this is genuine footage from US fighter jets. This is not... edited, this is not, the sound is genuine, what it looks like whatever it is, that's fucking mental. And everyone if there was no lockdown, everyone would be talking about that. If there was no lockdown, everyone would be talking about Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. What is going on, Ash?
Well,
what is going on, mate?
We locked down, but then again as well, it's weird because the information a lot of people are getting now, me included, we take from
me,
Twitter, Facebook, and all that shit. But who's controlling that?
Google, mate. Skynet.
Exactly. Cambridge Analytica.
Oh, that and that thing. I remember when people. Right. This is how quickly can go from doubting something to completely accepting it. I remember when people said, they're listening. If the microphones are on at all times. If you talk about something and then like they'll advertise it and I was thinking, bollocks, there's no way they do that. And then it was undoubted. It was no doubt in my mind they were doing that. It happened to me. Like, I think I spoke to you about some drain rods. And then 2 minutes later, I'm scrolling through Facebook and there was an advert for drain rods.
It's just too coincidental.
And then I was like, oh, they are doing it. But like a week ago, I was like, fuck, there's no way they do that. I'd have a revolution. If they did that, I'd smash my phone up and go back to living in a cave. And then you find out they are doing it. I'm like, oh, they're doing that. And then like that Cambridge Analytics go, oh, they're selling your personal information. You think that? And I was up in arms. And there's like this lockdown. Like people go, if this was some sort of like control thing or they were doing something. And like, you know, people are like, oh, you either believe that it's a conspiracy or you're, you know, you're sensible and sane and think it's just to save the NHS. If they come out and said, actually, like, right, if they had a just imagine, they go, press.
Because it's the alien.
Yeah, imagine it was that. Imagine if it was that. If they go, we've got a world press conference, unprecedented, at 5 p.m. tonight, around the world is going to be. It's never happened before. The new global overlords are gonna address their subjects, and there was a group of five blokes in suits, five straight white men, old gammons,
unzipped their skin
in grey suits, stood at a podium. They said, "People of Earth, we are the new world order."
All Boris Johnson, Donald Trump.
No, they're puppets. These are the real guys that you've never seen before, okay. Right? These are the backroom puppet masters. These are the geezers who have had their hand in the puppet's arse. And you're up there looking at the puppet show, and then they're the ones behind the curtain. And they go, "People of Earth, we are the new world order. We are the Illuminati. We are the Bilderberg group. We are the Rothschilds. We are this." All those. And everyone would go, "Oh, right, they'd accept it." And
probably.
They would, because I just think, like I said, I was like that about the smoking ban. I just never thought that would happen. And when it did, I was like, I'm not allowed to smoke now.
Even go back to the First World War, right? Where they went, "Right, you lot, over the top and attack." "Oh, but this is suicide, isn't it?"
"Yeah."
"Yeah, it is."
"Yeah."
"What?
When I blow this whistle, jump up and run into some German bullets, or I'm going to shoot you in the head with an English bullet."
"Well, what about if we all shoot you?"
"What about if,
don't.
What about if the two blokes... What about if everyone in the trenches just shoot a cunt with a whistle on each side? And then we can play football every day?" "We're going to get a little league going. We could call it the World Cup."
Isn't it weird? It's so weird that they just went, "Well, I guess I've got no other alternative."
Human beings think we've got this free will. When you actually look at us as a species and what we've done, like...
Do anything we're told.
Like the Holocaust, like the Spanish Inquisition, like... the slave trade. It is like one bloke will tell 10,000 people to behave abhorrently that will punish millions of their fellow man. Why?
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
I'd love to know the statistics on how many people have drunk bleach since Donald Trump said about it.
Never mind that. I mean, that's nothing. But that's just some. But that's not like.
No, but yeah, I'd like to just know, because that's an influence, isn't it? Where you know that, like, there is nothing, no possible benefit of doing it. Like, we know that it will harm you. Yet I wonder whether some people did it.
Right, so let's look at the Holocaust, because that's a very clear cut example, right? We can say at the top of the tree.
And very funny for a podcast. Go for
it. But number one, top of the tree, Adolf, Mr. Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
He believed it all, right? He thought it all. He bought it. Then you had his little cabinet of cronies around him, like Himmler and Goebbels and Goering.
Goebbels.
All them. They believed it.
Gerbils.
Right? Then you've probably got your very high-up dudes. What my point is, say at Auschwitz, you had the bloke in charge of the camp. He was on board with the message. Then the bloke beneath him was kind of like, I've been promoted to co-manager. I'm assistant manager of the death camp. This is good for my family. It's a good career. Then you've got the grunts who are going around and actually stamping people's heads in and opening the doors to the gas chamber. Do they believe it or do they just do it? What my point is, how many people actually thought? Because the whole country can't have all thought the same, that they all acted like they did.
I don't know.
So at what point are you just doing as you're told and you don't fucking? No, but I'm just saying it's funny, isn't it? It's like, not funny. I'm saying it's strange.
Do you remember that Derren Brown thing where he gets to push that bloke? It gets the guy to push the bloke off of the ledge by just basically telling him to do it. Like pushing a dead body as far as the guy's concerned.
So they've told us all to stay in. I don't fucking know. I've got no faith in human beings. I think we're bigger sheep than sheep. And not in a sheeple conspiracy way. I mean, like, actually black and white facts, like the Holocaust. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Say the staff, the German staff, what do you want to call them, the Nazis at Auschwitz, say there was 1,000 of them. I don't know how many there would have been. I don't know how big it was. Say there's 1,000 of them.
Yeah, you're talking 1,000 people across the lot of them, aren't you, at least?
Yeah, so all the prison guards, the people that worked in the canteen, the whole staff of that death camp, say there was 1,000 of them, there's probably 2 that actually believed in what they were doing. There was two that bought it, and the rest
went
of just...
along.
So why didn't the rest just off then?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Weird, that's humans, isn't it? Because you're part.
What does it take to flip the numbers? Like, how many does it take? Like we're saying, in the trenches in the First World War, there's one guy with a whistle who said we're going over the top to kill.
Yeah.
There is 300 blokes about to go over the top.
Yeah. And the same on the other side and all.
Killing that bloke and go, we never got the message.
Yeah. And the same on the other side.
Why would they? But this is exactly it. This is what we're talking about right at the start of the podcast, which is just going along and doing stuff and bottling it up. Yeah. This is exactly it. It's me paying for a kebab for £27 that I ordered.
But the thing is, they had that game of football.
It's just going, oh, I don't want a fuss.
They had that game of football, Ash. And then they went, all right, should we go back to that awful going back to that awful thing? That was just nice, wasn't it, Fritz? We had a nice little kick around, didn't we? You're not a bad
geezer. Some of them were punished by being killed.
Yeah, but then it's like, oh, we had this game of football. It's made me appreciate our common humanity. I don't hate you. I don't know you. We're just the same. We're the same, but our counterparts. And we're just pawns in this game. Anyway, let's go back to that awful thing where we're going to try and kill each other or get shot by our own people again. Why don't they just stay out there?
For years. Mm. For years. Mm.
Well, I'm glad I've sorted that out.
If only we could harness that to get people to listen to the podcast.
And to give us money, more importantly.
How can they? You're talking about that. How could they give us money?
Well, they could go on Ko-fi.com and give us increments of $3, which is a gourmet coffee in some states. Or they could go to patreon.com/pranksandfirth. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they could, that's the real one. Subscribe.
You know, on that, there is now 15 bonus podcasts. That's like 15 hours of extra podcast for them to enjoy. So even if they did it for a month, they could listen
but the thing
to all
those
podcasts.
The thing as well that you have to go impress upon... The thing we've got to impress upon people as well is you listen to this. You should be paying for this. Never mind the extras. That's the cherry on the cake. You pay for the cherry Bakewell. The cherry comes. The cherry comes included. But you're getting you already had the Bakewell. You've eaten the Bakewell. And just because you've left the cherry, you think you ain't got to pay for it. Try that in Costa, mate. Try that in Costa and see where it gets you when it opens again. So I had the cherry Bakewell, but I didn't want the cherry, so I'm not going to pay for it.
And there's video podcasts, which, even if I do say so, are very good, which some of them are me and you together in a pub, and some of them are now and remote, aren't they? And they look beautiful.
Mm.
I've made them look beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to do another one this week, aren't we?
Yeah, there's going to be another one for May. You get $5 for that, and you can also give us your moon theory, why can I see the moon during the day, and you will receive, this is unbelievable, your certificate from the Panks Space Agency.
The Panks Moon Worker. The Panks Moon Investigative University of Investigation.
And you will receive your certificate.
It's an actual it's an actual degree level qualification.
Yeah, and you can frame that and put that
up. Frame it, put it on the CV, get yourself a good job.
Why wouldn't you support the podcast, for God's sake?
Yeah. Just don't be tight. You've listened this far, and even if you think it's shit, which, yeah, fair enough, but you still listen, so you should pay for it, really. You should, really. You like that horrible person that hangs around Leicester Square. Right from the beginning, you watch the entire show where the guy gets a little crowd around him, and then he gets his hat out, and you just walk away. Don't be that guy.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like Callum did, get in touch with your prankspiracies. And that it's a bit of a difficult one today because I think that is...
It's quite macro. Quite specific.
Yeah, it's not even really a conspiracy. I think it's probably agreed that is the case.
Yeah. But
things like, why can I see the moon during the day?
Can you make water? That was a good one.
Yeah. I think you can really sink your teeth into some prankspiracies. Yeah. And maybe if we get enough, we'll do a bonus episode just on prankspiracies.
I think people listening to me talking about these is a bit like the first few episodes of X Factor. The people that can't sing but have a go.
Well, and then at the end, you get someone who's got the most beautiful voice.
Yeah, well, that is when you go online and look it up. But listen, watching me floundering around like an idiot, tongue-tied, with a half-formed opinions, is like someone that can't sing but really going for it.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I like that when my favourite thing is when you I hear in your voice that you have accidentally unproven it to yourself.
But that's good. That shows that I've got. That shows that I wouldn't.
You're open-minded.
I wouldn't toe the party line at the death camp.
We've had some communication from Yanis about the fact that he bums and has been bummed by animals. Now, again, I want to point out, I want people to stop talking about Yanis being bummed by animals all the time, for crying out loud. There's no evidence. This is your little bit. Even if he ever did do it. So,
there's no evidence. But this is. I mean, this is hardly putting the windows out of your local butcher, is it? This is the worst little vegan sort of like act of defiance.
I feel like I have to write a statement concerning hunting and not shoving animals up my arse. Which is a great message. And I'll read this. Yanis, I hope this is okay for me to read out. I know it was a private message to me, but I'll read it out. I was a vegetarian myself for many years, and I do love animals. So there is an admission of sorts there right at the top from Yanis. And nature in general. So I don't want people thinking Yanis is putting twigs and leaves up his arsehole, guys, for fuck's sake. I would even go so far as to say that... Most animals should be treated higher and better than many humans.
No.
So why am I still hunting, he says. I see it as mainly nature conservation. The World Conservation Union, sounds made up, has also recognised that the sustainable use of natural resources contributes to their conservation. Only those who design habitats can use the natural resources sustainably. Now, again, sounds like something made up. The Federal Hunting Act, made up, defines protection and use under the term conservation, which today could be translated as conservation and care of animal populations. The most common conservation measure is taken by hunters. Oh, they're doing them a favour, Yanis.
Well, one, chill out, Yanis. Two, I've heard these arguments before. I think they're sort of true. And three, are you saying that Yanis masturbates by fucking a tobacco tin full of bracken?
I'm not saying that. But be aware, I am also a declared opponent of animal desecration and the mistreatment of animals. By the difference I make is that hunting means preserving and commercial animal husbandry and slaughter means keeping, which unfortunately is all... I mean, it goes on. And then, so we get to the meat of the matter here. And rats up bums, as mentioned in the podcast, just for clarity. This is so tempting to write a dark comment to you both, somehow pushed me in a sociopathic frame, which is strangely growing on me, for fun's sake only. But rats up my bum is not really my thing. Tried it a couple of times, but it never gave me the thrills of other things give me when being shoved up my bum.
Okay.
So there you go. Quite a serious point there from Yanis.
The last one was the only serious point. The rest was made up.
Yeah.
He's made all that early stuff up.
So there he is. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah. And it makes me laugh that you're like, I hope Yanis doesn't mind me reading this out after you'd outed your coffee mate for doing a massive shit in his father-in-law's toilet.
Yeah, that's the beauty of him. He will not give a shit. He will not give a shit. And if he does, he'd tell me.
And if he did, his girlfriend would have to go and break it up with a coat hanger.
Exactly. That's absolutely true. But yeah, thank you, Yanis, for getting in touch. I do appreciate it. But
keep hunting, Yanis. I'm with you, mate.
Is murder. You are a murderer.
No, you're not.
And that's why God flipped your stomach, mate. So there you go. Oh,
Ash is such a big believer in God when it suits him.
I do believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus saved us.
He died for our sins, but...
Oh, yeah, he died for
Yeah, but I don't understand that, really.
No, because he was an idiot as well. He went along with it, didn't he? He was up there. As they were nailing him up to the tree, he must have gone, hang on a minute.
And why then? What was so important about then? Like, wouldn't you think that he would come and die for our sins on the last day of human existence? Because, like, he's died for my sins preemptively. Yeah. But wouldn't you think, like, okay, he'd come and die for our sins 30 seconds before the asteroid hit, because he'd know all the sins we'd all done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like that's not true sometimes.
Like it's not true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's been a lovely episode. I'm probably not going to edit out the stuff about Auschwitz, so maybe I'll put a disclaimer. But as long as you know it's done from a loving place.
Clearly a work of fiction. I don't know anything about it. What, no change there.
We're making light of the situation. We're making light
no,
of
No, I was just saying, but it must have run like an organisation with petty little squabbles and memos going up and managers that didn't like each other and power struggles. But you don't think about that because you sort of think it's, you know.
There should be a sitcom set in Auschwitz, shouldn't there?
Yeah, but they never ever talk about the Holocaust.
No,
it's all
just the business side.
Yeah, it's all just little petty things.
Yeah. Just business, just the business side entirely.
Yeah, it could be called memos. I don't know.
It's called the camp, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll get down to writing that, and during lockdown, we'll have that done for you by next week.
Yeah, on the desk.
Thank you, Justin.
All right, mate.
Thank you, listener. And if you want the extra, go over to Patreon. You can get some extra stuff.
And pay for this anyway.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Hey, bye. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. Bye.